Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to what is being paid attention to, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Today is Friday, September the 24th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the year 2010. Today's topic is part of a three-part series on ADHD awareness. Today is part three, Where's the Help? 2 weeks ago, we covered Is ADHD Real? Last year, we talked about Where's the Hope? And this year, we're covering Where's the Help? As we had mentioned last week's show, last week was the official National ADHD Awareness Week. And we were real excited about that celebration. There were lots of Bridgeline conference calls, seminars, telecasts going on all over the country, so it was pretty exciting. Before we get into our topic today, I would like to thank the ADHD Coaches Organization for coming to me to put on this particular series, because this is being brought to you by the ADHD Coaches Organization with support of Chad, Atta, Totally ADD, and Attitude Magazine. To learn more about ADHD Coaches Association, go to www.adhdcoaches.org. So today we are going to cover Where's the Help? So this will be a real exciting show. And with us today to talk about where we can find some help is Victoria Ball and Rob Garrett. Victoria is an ADD coach, career coach in Providence, Rhode Island. She serves ADD clients in the United States and abroad. She's been working in the area for about 15 years with teens, college students, and adults, especially around college, career, workplace, and relationship issues. She can be found on the web at adventuresinliving.com, and that's spelled ADDVENTURESINLIVING.com. Also with us is Rob Garrett, who began coaching full-time in 1998. Rob uses a battery of assessment profiles to quickly identify with the client profiles that include the client's key success motivating profiles, the key success behavioral profiles, and key success communication profiles. Many of Rob's ADD clients come to him for coaching and counseling around work, business, career issues for those transitioning from employed to self-employed and business owners. So with that, I'd like to welcome Rob and Victoria to our virtual studios. Welcome, guys.
Thanks so much.
Thanks,
for
Jeff.
Having us.
To kick things off, Rob, I want to ask you first. If someone thinks they or a loved one might have ADD or ADHD, how do they go get a good, and I would like to underscore it, how do they go get a good diagnosis?
Well, Jeff, that's such a great question, because that's like a good diagnosis and evaluation, which is normally called a neuropsychological evaluation or a neurocognitive evaluation, is like a blueprint for the person doing the assessment diagnosis, and that can be used by the prescribing physician and even coaches and other professionals that come in to support the individual later. So it's really important. And the way to get a good one is first to know what types of people are typically the best ones to go to for a good evaluation. And in my mind, there are three professionals that are often best to go to, and that would be a clinical psychologist or a neuropsychologist. And, you know, the letters after their names are usually PhD, or what we call PsyD, P-S-Y-D. And also, many psychiatrists who are MDs, physicians, also do a great evaluation.
These people are good people to kind of go and specialize. As a coach in this area, because we don't actually diagnose those with ADD, I'm kind of curious, do you work with your clients or those who come to you that think they might have it, to kind of help them articulate what's going on to the doctors for to help or aid them in diagnosis?
Well, you know, going to a coach is often a great first step because they can help you articulate what your possible symptoms are and how ADD may be impacting your functioning or how your functioning is impacted, whether it's focus or organizing paperwork or staying on task or getting things done or many other symptoms of ADHD. And one thing that typically folks with ADHD do when they go to the doctors, some of it has to do with underreporting symptoms or the amount of suffering and pain and the interference that's going on with their functioning. So it is a great first stop to go to an ADD coach to help you prepare all that so you can make sure that you tell the doctor the way it is. You don't exaggerate or understate any of your challenges. And the more accurate the information you give, the more chance he has to give you a thorough and accurate evaluation and diagnosis. So that's a very good point, Jeff.
And I kind of highlight that because the question was a good diagnosis, and that key, it really is a good diagnosis because people can be misdiagnosed, which kind of can create a lot of issues. Rob, do you suspect it's probably good if you're getting a diagnosis when you're going to a neuropsychologist or clinical psychologist to find one that regularly works in this world, or do you think it matters? When I say regularly working, about routinely deals with diagnosing those with ADD.
I think it's absolutely critical to get one that has a lot of experience and our extensive training specifically in ADD or ADHD. And just so you know, I use those terms interchangeably because my understanding of the most current research is that it has been acknowledged now that even if the H, the hyperactivity, isn't physically visible, where the stereotypical little boy just can't sit still type of hyperactivity. If that's not present physically, it's present mentally. So that means the mind is always working and thinking of new ideas or questions or going in many places at the same time. So most of us in the profession now use the term ADD or ADHD interchangeably, and I just want to throw that out so we don't confuse the ones that are just learning about this disorder.
I'm glad you brought that up because it is kind of confusing. People do either ADD or ADHD and blah, blah, and that distinction was, thanks for sharing that with us. Victoria, I'd like to ask you, many people consider using medications for ADHD symptoms. How can they be the most successful in finding the right medications? And, you know, the other part is not just the right medication, but the right dosage plans.
Correct. That's such a challenge, and we talk about pills and skills, so it's important to try to get the pills in good shape if somebody decides to use medication. The thing to keep in mind is most people actually do get benefit from medications if they try the right ones. It's more complex than most people realize because we have over 10 ADD-related medications at the moment, and, you know, there are more coming down the pike, I'm sure. So the issue is there are many, many different medications. They are short-acting. They are long-acting. They all do different things, and they all have different delivery systems. So I come at the ADD world from the brain, and we haven't really talked much about neurochemicals, but I think about dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin, and those are parts of chemicals in the brain that help you be able to do things. And if you don't have enough of them, then they create a lot of the ADD symptoms. So I'm always thinking about what medications are, you know, what are the symptoms, and then what medications might be most helpful. So I think the most important thing is to realize you can combine different kinds of medications. You can combine short and long-acting medications. My belief is that you want to be covered with medication while you're awake because you have things you have to do during the day and the evening. And also during the weekend and during the summer, all those kinds of things, you need the medication if you're going to use it to be helping you in all areas of your life. So that's an important thing. But it's much more nuanced. Some women have PMS, and so you need a little higher dose of medication that third week of the month. Or you think about your day. I work with a lot of college students, so if students are taking classes at night, they may need more medication at night, but not so much in the morning. So it's really a combination of your life, your chemical needs, and how this is all going to work. One thing I'd suggest is there's a new book out by Dr. Charles Parker, just came out maybe 2 months ago, and he's talking about the therapeutic window. The book is, it's ADHD Medication Rules. And what he's really trying to do, the book is for the layperson and the doctor. What you want to do, like Rob was saying, is to be able to articulate well what the problems are, what the symptoms are. Once you start the medications, you also want to share with the doctor, how are things working? So you want to know and be able to tell that person, when is it going in? How long is it lasting? Are you feeling anything at all? Is it too much? So Dr. Parker talks about this therapeutic window and how to figure it out and how to tell the doctor. So that's a great new technique and tool that I think will be helpful for everybody.
I think that the way you articulated that was very well, particularly the examples, because the medication from at least my perspective, Coach, and what I know, it is very individualized. It really depends on your version of ADD and other factors, like if you're a female, you might require one thing. Plus, if you're maybe a student and you're very athletic, because, it varies based on who you are. So one is the actual medication.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side of it also is the dosage.
And also the life situations, a person who just had twins. Less sleep and much more need to have some cognitive function to pay the bills. So there are life factors, there are daily and weekly life factors. People react differently in the summer versus the winter. Lots of variations. Much more.
And your work with college students and stuff like that, it's my understanding that, you know, many of these drugs you can take and they actually get metabolized. I mean, they're based off your metabolism. So if you have somebody who, like a teenager maybe who is doing fine, all of a sudden gets very involved with athletics and are exercising substantially more, all of a sudden what was working doesn't work, or seemingly. It really is working, but the fact that they're metabolizing it earlier, they need a boost or something out later in the day. Is that?
Exactly. You really, the most important thing, I think, is for somebody with ADD to pay attention to what's happening, because when they go to the doctors and the doctors say, well, how are you doing? And the doctors have, you know, if they're lucky, maybe 15 minutes, and the person says, oh, things are fine. I'm always talking about the peak level. What is the peak level of performance? That's the goal you want through the day and into the night. And what's happening in your life? So you can play with this a little more than most people realize. So short,
and
long-acting, and combined.
And I like to emphasize here that it really is. It's not like you walk in necessarily and the doctor nails it kind of the first time. It does take a lot. You need to have a conversation with your doctor over a period of time. And honestly, ADD coaches really can help, because we can't prescribe or diagnose, but we do a lot of helping you articulate or mirror back kind of what's going on, so that when you spend your 15 or 20 minutes with a doctor, you can really kind of help laser in on it and really kind of help guide you to the right meds and the right dosage at the same time for your lifestyle. So it can be sometimes complex and challenging to get the right dosage, but if you are open to medications, it can really make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is Rob, Jeff.
Yep.
And I was just thinking, you know, it can be an overwhelming process wherever you are, in thinking you might have it to knowing you've had it. Maybe you've even got diagnosed and haven't had effective support or care yet. But, you know, one thing that I know Vicki and I'd want everyone to know is if you're overwhelmed or don't know where to begin, a simple possible place is just go to the website ADHD Coaches, COACHES.org, and look up to on the top and click on Find a Coach, and you can search by your state or by another preference, and just find a coach and call one and tell them that you'd like to hire them for a session to help you figure out, you know, where to find a professional or you know, what the next step is, and that can really simplify the process for a lot of people. And most coaches can help people navigate wherever they are in this process, most of the ADHD coaches there.
Rob, you got a really good point. It's, you know, it's interesting because coaches actually, again, they can't diagnose, they can't do that stuff, but they can actually work with you on a cost-effective basis to help you articulate that to make the most of the time so you can get to the right doctor, right medication, and right dosage very, very efficiently. So excellent point.
We're almost often case managers. I feel, you know, people are very overwhelmed about all these different people and resources and doctors and what to do first. So very often we're able to be the coordinator of a lot of the activities and where to go and the resources and what to do first and then second and if somebody has sleep problems. So I think we're kind of like case managers in a way.
Absolutely, and you know that's great because that kind of segues into my next question because we're talking a little bit about meds and we're talking about ADD coaches as kind of resource, but outside of the taking medication environment, Vicki, what are some other tools or some other places people can go to kind of help manage their ADD in other areas of their life?
Well, I would say certainly a lot of people do talk about therapy with ADD, and the thing to keep in mind right now, they have done studies about what is most effective for people with ADD, and the therapy style tends not to be the kind where you're there for 2 years analyzing all of your background and your past history. There's something called cognitive behavior therapy. It's more short-term and more future-oriented. That seems to be the only real kind of therapy that has been proven to be very effective for ADD. This type of therapy is very similar to coaching. You know, we don't spend a lot of time analyzing the past, but it's more current and into the future. So I think the cognitive behavior therapy, there are more people being trained that way. So trying to find those kinds of therapists would be a really good help. And a lot of times people have therapy and coaching and doctors, so people can take their pick. The other thing that I find particularly beneficial, people may be surprised at this, but there's something called EMDR, and it's eye movement desensitization and reprogramming or something. But all you need to look at the website is EMDR, and it was developed for post-traumatic stress syndrome. Francine Shapiro of California with Vietnam veterans, but it's a technique that truly works very, very quickly for trauma, and I think of my ADD clients as having big and little traumas every day. So the traumas can really get you stuck in the emotional part of life, and you can't go forward. So something like EMDR is actually used, the insurance pays for it, and it really can get people moving more quickly than kind of the standard formal kind of therapy. So that would be an idea. And the other thing I would just mention, I happen to run the Rhode Island ADD Adult Support Group, and so trying to find support groups, either physically or virtually, there are lots of things out on the web now, but finding communities, whether through CHAD, they do work with children and adults. Our group is not a CHAD group, but we have a CHAD group too, so we have lots of resources in Rhode Island. Trying to find those kinds of resources, just as people say, being in a place where it's your tribe, it's private, people understand what you're saying, they laugh with you, they cry with you, it's so powerful and such a relief. So if people can find those places to have support, that is especially valuable.
I like to, in Tampa, there's a couple support groups here, and I stick my head in, and sometimes it's just helpful just to sit around a room just talking to some other people about your daily challenges and just sharing war stories and little tricks to you to success. It's amazing about what can kind of come out of that, what you can learn. So.
Exactly. That's what we do. We're actually the second oldest group in the country. The one in Seattle is the first one. But just it's informal, no dues. People just do exactly that. They share, they talk, they ask questions, and it's a fascinating experience.
Excellent. Well, I tell you what, I want to break for commercial here real quick, but before we do so, I just want to give both of you a chance. Victoria, if somebody wants to get in contact with you, what's the best way to do that?
Okay, two ways. The easiest is by phone, and it's 401-272-0435. I actually answer the phone from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week. And the other is email. It's Victoria Ball, like a baseball, number one, just the symbol one, at verizon.net.
Excellent. And Rob, if some of our listeners want to contact you, how could what's the best way to reach you?
Just like Vicki, the best way is give a call, and you can call toll-free at 1-800-929-4125. That's 1-800-929-4125. Or check out the website at taming, TAMINGADD.com. It's TamingADD.com.
Excellent. And we're going to go on a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a few other things to help improve ADD symptoms, and then we'll talk about some actual places on the web where you can go get some resources. So we'll be right back.
This is Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. When you're stuck, what do you pay attention to? If you're paying attention to the same logic or level of thinking that created the problem, maybe you need to pay attention to something else. Dig Coaching excavates outcomes by paying attention to what you pay attention to. After all, if you're paying attention to the wrong thing, you're likely paying attention to the wrong solution. To learn more about finding your obvious solution, go to digcoaching.com and download the free audio file, Finding the Obvious Solutions When They Aren't So Obvious. Don't delay, do it today.
If you have a topic that you want covered or question answered, just email us at info@digcoaching.com.
Be part of the show. Dial 646-652-4409. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to this episode of Attention Talk Radio. With us today is Rob Garrett and Victoria Ball, and we're talking about ADHD Awareness Week and where to get help. We have a little bit of time left, and Victoria, I want to ask you, we've talked about meds, we've talked about coaching, we've talked about the EMDR. What might be some other easy things that people can do to kind of help improve their ADD or ADHD symptoms?
I'll give you three quick suggestions, and I'm always talking about the healthy habits. These things really do affect your brain, and they bring in the neurochemicals that you need. So the first thing is sleep. Sleep is absolutely crucial. We actually now have new information about, we talk about the brain defragging, just like the computer, and apparently it takes 8 hours and 15 minutes a day to defrag your brain. So trying to get at least 8 hours and 15 minutes, I know that's hard. We do a lot of coaching around that. But that's new information to know that your brain can then be all put back together again, you wake up refreshed and ready to start the day. So sleep, particularly at least 8 hours and 15 minutes. Second thing is protein. Powerful protein gives you dopamine, which you need for your executive functions, and I call it brain food. And the carbohydrates are calming carbohydrates. They give you serotonin, and they put you to sleep. So you want to think about lots of protein in the morning, less carbs in the morning, more carbs at night, less protein. So you want to balance your day, you know, your time through the day. I talk about a protein drip every 2 to 3 hours, and you typically need to take your weight, cut it in half, and that's how much protein you need, how many grams of protein you need a day. Most people with ADD don't get that much. So you want to keep feeding the brain food throughout the day. So that's important.
So if you weigh 200 pounds, hypothetically, you need, you divide that in half, 100 grams of protein.
Protein, which is a lot. think about it. See if it helps. These are things to experiment with, and if you notice a difference and your brain really wakes up, then you need more protein. And then the third thing is exercise, and we now know that it's really, really good for you. It generates the dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin, but it doesn't have to be a lot. Basically, Duke Medical School discovered that just 20 minutes of brisk walking 3 times a week will generate all this. If you can do more intensely, that's even better. So you really try to do that. And this exercise actually grows the memory organ in your brain, physically grows it. Fascinating. And then finally, the fish oils. People have been hearing about the omega-3s, the fish oils, walnuts, flaxseed, all of that will also generate the chemicals in the brain that you need.
Those are all key points. I think that they're very important. We tend to overlook that stuff, but it's important to keep your body well. I mean, I know I was sick in July and August very badly. It's funny because I couldn't pay attention to anything just because my body wasn't right. So those are all
right.
Excellent.
These are the foundations, and if you can put a lot of these things in, then the medication, you may not need as much medication. You may not need different kinds of medication. The other thing I should just mention, the things that you love give you natural dopamine that wakes up your brain. So as a coach, I'm always saying, what is a fun thing that you love, that you're passionate about, that you can be doing every day that wakes up the brain?
That's excellent. Now, we got a little bit more than 3 minutes to go. Rob, let's talk about, like resources where people can go find on the web. What type of things are out there that people can go get additional information and help?
Well, I'd say the number one resource to keep in mind that will bring many of these things together is go to the website ADHD Awareness 2010.org. So that's ADH Awareness, AWARENESS 2010.org, and it'll take you to the sponsors of the ADHD Awareness, which was the CHAD organization, ADA, ACO coaches, and
CHAD is Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Disorder.
Correct, ADA, and that's a national organization serving the full lifespan, and ADA is Attention Deficit Disorder Association, serving primarily adults, and ACO is the ADHD Coaches Organization. It's the professional organization for coaches. It is to ADHD coaches what the American Medical Association is for doctors. It helps in their professional development, and it's a place where coaches serious about developing their skills and being the best coaches they can be are a part of that.
And I can attest all three of us being members subscribe to what the ADHD Coaches Organization is doing. So it's,
we do. And Jeff, we have a story for a moment for a quick story.
Yes, we got a minute for one?
Yes. So, you know, I'd like to tell a story. With ADD, you know, when you're diagnosed, it doesn't mean you can't do stuff. It's not a time to start thinking about what you can't do. It's a way to think that, well, maybe you're not going to, your approach to get to where you want to go is going to be different than someone without ADHD. And I like to tell a story about a student I worked with. She was diagnosed early on in junior high, had great support, great doctors, coaching, and the works, did well, got in college, did well through there, a lot of work and a lot of sport, but did well, got into med school. That was her dream. And she hit that, and even with all the support, she just couldn't keep up with the volume of work. And part of that is even under the best care, most of us with ADHD, you lose some time with focus. You just have to notice when you're off and bring yourself back more often than someone without it. And so we devised a system where she would stand in the island, in her kitchen around the island, make a stack of papers of all the studies she had to do, which in medical school is usually memorization, lab report, or reading. And she had about 7 stacks. She'd set the kitchen timer for 15 minutes, and she would race herself and the clock down the stack until the 15-minute button sounded or the timer. And she'd jot a note what she finished and what to do next time. And she'd go around the whole island doing that, and that's how she got through med school.
That's Awesome example. Well, Victoria and Rob, I'd like to thank you again for joining us on this edition of Attention Talk Radio. For everyone else out there, you have some key resources at ADDA, that's ADD.org, and CHADD, CHADD.org. As an aside, Ruth Hughes will be joining us in 2 weeks for a review of the upcoming CHADD conference. So without ado, thank you very much for joining us, and have a great week, everyone. Take care.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.